Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Your wedding is a day you'll remember forever. And your fiancé? Your fiancé deserves a suit that feels just as special as the moment you say I do. At Nick's, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and we specialize in helping weddings own their suits for about the same price as a rental. That means not only will your fiancé look amazing on your wedding day, but we'll have a suit that can be worn for years to come. Let us make this the easiest and most meaningful part of planning your wedding. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
I mean, it speaks to the staff that we've got here, the guys that we've got in this locker room, how this team's put together, the culture that we have. We didn't really pay attention to the preseason notions, but we heard them and we saw them and we knew what people were saying, but had no effect on us. We just came in the training camp and tried to work as hard as we could. And there's another stat I think that we tied today was the most touchdowns caught by different receivers or different players. I believe we got 13 and we got another week to try to get one more. So that's a stat too that we talk about a lot. Everybody eats in this offense and it's a mantra that we've had. And I think that's a testament to that.
It is 13. It includes Allen for taking that Amari Cooper lateral to the end zone after a pass to Cooper in the game against San Francisco. 13 different players have at least one touchdown catch, and none more than five, and that's Hollins. And I'm not the first one to say it, but think about if you were with us all summer. All right, here's what's going to happen. Everybody eats. I almost hate to say it now. It's so played out. But everybody eats, and the Bills run away with the AFC East, fifth year in a row. And their leading receiver for touchdowns is Mac Hollins. How many does he have? I don't know. Maybe it's five. But the idea that they could be this good and have Hollins lead them in touchdown catches, I mean, they're second in the league in points, and yet five is the most. It surprises me, like Hollins having the role he's had. It's 26 catches. You know, that's not even two per game. But five touchdowns is surprising. The rest of it is exactly what they promised us. And you haven't had Kincaid pop. And Shakir, for all his value, is not a touchdown maker. He's got four for the season. It isn't even James Cook, right? Like, who would have been your guess to lead them in touchdowns? You could have said Cook pretty easily, like six maybe. But of the running backs, Ty Johnson has more receiving touchdowns than Cook with three. Cook has two. Ray Davis has two. So you have this game where there's nothing on the line. If this is a record you care about, I don't think it should be too hard to find somebody else up from the practice squad. It can't be Tyrell Shavers now because he got on the board. But someone else that's been hanging around, a lineman maybe, a little flea flicker to Trubisky or something. That's a lot for a meaningless Week 18 game. Maybe it's Gilliam. Maybe that should be the guy. He's on this list, you know, 14 games played, no touchdown catches. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Everything's open here. The MVP stuff, the resting strategy. We've heard Allen will play just like I thought. I mean, he'll play a little bit. Maybe that's one series. Maybe it's even one play to keep that streak alive. So that'll happen. Playoff opponents. I'm eager for some Broncos takes if you happen to be someone who has that in your bag. I feel like I said it myself and then Eric said it. I think this is the common sentiment that Denver is just okay, and that's the kind of team you should want in a playoff game, which it is how I feel. But that alone is a little bit unsettling when you know just how unpredictable it all can be. I mean, you're going to want to play someone more than someone else. That's how it's going to be. The Bengals just seem like so obviously the scary one, but they still can't really stop anybody. And it's not like they're winning games easily or anything like that. They got in a big hole this year. They probably should have a better record, but they lost the close ones and now they need help. And Denver is just sort of the opposite of that. They just played on Saturday to an overtime game in Cincinnati. So maybe it's wrong to think, what do the power rankings look like? Well, I know Cincinnati has done better than Denver has, at least lately. And maybe it's a little bit of a trap to think that the Broncos are the easier mark there. And then Miami, I guess, is Tua even healthy? Doesn't play yesterday, may not play this week either. 803-0550 for your thoughts on that. By the way, earlier I said how the Bills won the toss and took the ball. I believe that is what was said on CBS. Pro Football Reference in its play-by-play says the Jets won the toss and deferred. So I wanted to get that in case you're thinking that I made a mistake there. I maybe did, but I was just taking that from what CBS said, unless I misheard it. Eric talking about Bo Nix. Speaking of the Broncos.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And how he's impressed. I think that's certainly fair. It's also based on expectations, right? Like if... this doesn't even really work. If Caleb Williams had Bo Nix's season and the Bears are a wild card or probably a wild card and, the numbers are fine, fairly modest, not off the charts, but fine. Are people that impressed with Caleb Williams if that had happened? I think there would still be some sort of a mixed bag on what he looks like as a rookie. That has not happened. He gets sacked constantly, and they cannot complete even a 10-yard pass. So that looks pretty bad. And we'll see if they can fix that before it's too late, and they end up wasting one of the best college quarterback prospects ever in Caleb Williams. Nix, I mean, he's the sixth quarterback picked. It's not even the middle of the first round, right? Whatever it is, like 12 maybe, thereabouts. And mostly people mocked him for it, because most analysts, I would say, maybe somebody like Chris Trapasso or somebody else that pays closer attention to the chatter would say it wasn't this maybe pronounced, but for me, it was like nobody thought he was a first round pick talent, and he's been fine. He's been good. They're going to go to the playoffs probably in his first year with him having played from the first snap of the season. So that's a great job. It might say something about the experience, the age of the player, which this came up on my podcast this morning at ADP Chasing, how it was always kind of seen as a strike against, it still maybe is, when the player is older. You just, not as long of a, just simple logic, as long of a career ahead of them if they start at an older place, older age. And the fact that the player didn't, immediately blow you away in college as a prospect makes you want to have a more modest analysis of him. You'd rather have somebody that did, like Williams. But Nix and also Jaden Daniels were players that it took a while. They ended up transferring and just were not off the charts kind of talent I mean, Daniels got to a point where he won the Heisman Trophy and his team went far. Different players. But I think expectations are a key piece in terms of that analysis when it comes to his being impressive, because it looked like he was overdrafted, and instead he's got them likely to make the playoffs. They haven't done it yet. They have to beat Kansas City, which nobody but the Bills have done. Of course, Kansas City expected to sit Patrick Mahomes and other key players. The expectation of that happening is so likely that Denver is favored by 10 against the 15-1 Chiefs on Sunday. And is that a late game? I don't even know. Oh, look. I'm not sure if it's Sunday. I'm not sure if it's 1 or 425. Let's go to Rick here. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how you doing, guys doing today?
I'm fine, thank you.
I just want to address the Buffalo defense. It seems like when they have a stop, like 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, they rise to the occasion. But they scare the heck out of me during the game when it just seems like the Reds, you know, parting of the Red Sea, and a guy will open up and get 15 yards, downfield, one of the running backs. It seems like to me for the playoffs, they got to find a way of tightening that up.
Not a big concern of mine. I'm always the same with this. We might have even had the conversation in the past. I'd rather be great if you can be both. I'd much rather be tight against the pass, and that's what makes the Bills so hard to beat, because they are. The times this year when, well, the recent games, they beat the Lions, but the Ram game was when they couldn't be stopped through the air. Having been down a couple of safeties, you're down Douglas, and it took its toll. But just like a lot of the top teams in the NFL, go ahead and run it. And you said something important at the beginning, which is they have been good, I think, I'd guess that, in short yardage plays. Like yesterday, early in the Jet game with Braylon Allen's run, they've come up with those big stops. It's one thing to do it against the Jets, though. Like, when, I don't know if it's Denver either, but the hard part of all this is that it looks like the Bills will have to beat the Ravens and the Chiefs just to make it. It's supposed to be hard, and it should be hard, but that's what not getting to that one cost them. Wasn't much they could do. 13-3, wasn't much they could do. 803-0550. Thank you, Rick. Sal coming up at 5. This is Mike Shope on WGR.